Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and once again, back-to-back shows, I got my favorite co-host. Who's my favorite co-host?
Me, it's Will.
Will. All right, so it's Tate and Will again here, and it is Christmas in July again. Normally, it's International Fight Week that I get all excited about. But this year, Christmas has been delayed a little bit, and it's been moved to UFC 214.
Ooh.
All right, so we're going to kick off. This is going to be our UFC 214 preview. This is the biggest card of the year. And there won't be another card bigger than this all year. Do you agree?
I think there's another card. It's boxing card though.
Oh, I'm talking UFC event. I'm not talking about, you know.
Hey, you know, if Conor McGregor comes back and he does a little something in Russia with somebody else, there might be a big card there.
That would be a big card. The whole, when what he's talking about is the fact that could be that Conor has said once he comes back and after he beats Mayweather that he wants to go to Russia and fight Khabib. And I'd be all excited for that one. I think that's a bad matchup, but, you know.
This card is stacked.
But let's go back to 214, because if you were looking at UFC 214, it would be the ultimate dessert. It would be, in my eyes, it's a layer of cheesecake with, let's say, donuts. Mm. I don't know, some. Oh, take your four or five favorite desserts and just stack them on top of each other. Mm. Throw some chocolate sauce, and that's. I mean, it's that sweet. I mean, the card is just loaded. Now I know Will over here. He's a pretty clean eater, so. Talking about desserts stacked on the top of desserts with another side order of desserts isn't really his thing.
I could indulge.
It's kind of like the Rock's the cheat day. If you ever look online and ever see the Rock's
man,
cheat day.
He's crazy.
four double dough pizzas is to start. That's to start off. Well, this is my ultimate cheat day because UFC 214. It starts off with Cormier Jones as the main event. The co-main event, which should be its own pay-per-view, is Woodley Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maya. I would buy that pay-per-view in a heartbeat. My dream matchup is the next one. I'm a huge Invicta fan, and you have the Invicta flyweight champion, right?
Featherweight champion.
Invicta featherweight champion versus the Invicta bantamweight champion. Both of these guys are long-standing champions in Invicta. They're actually fighting for the featherweight title of the UFC. You got Cyborg versus Tonya Evinger. You have Robbie Lawler, who is coming back We haven't seen Robbie since he lost the title, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, to Woodley.
To Tyron Woodley. And he's fighting Cowboy Cerrone. Cowboy, that guy, he just fights just...
just because, for free.
Yeah, it's like he goes into a bar and he gets in a fight just because Achy Breaky Heart's on. You know, it's one of those things. And I do hate Achy Breaky Heart, the song. I'm yeah. sorry. And then you have Jimmy Manoa, who a lot of people thought he would be the next person that Daniel Cormier would be fighting. He's fighting on the card. So you have five really great fights. And then you got a number of guys that I'm looking forward to seeing, like Aljamain Sterling and those guys. This card is just stacked from head to toe. And so we're going to break down these fights, and we're going to start with the main event. And the main event is Daniel DC Cormier versus John Bones Jones. And, you know, to prepare for this fight, I went back and I watched this fight again. And so just to see how the first one broke down. And you came in right around right at like the beginning of the round, third round. So, how do you see this? And for those who may be living under a rock and doesn't know this, the first one, John Jones won a unanimous decision. Cormier actually only won one round, and that was the second round, and that was a close round itself. How do you see this fight stacking up?
Well, there's a lot of variables to take into account. DC's been pretty active in his last few fights since he last fought John Jones. John Jones has taken a hiatus of some sort.
He's been on sabbatical.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's been. He was like, was he like on safari?
I don't know. I think he was in some elementary schools. He's chatting with some kids for some reason.
Yeah, I think, you know, John Jones has been his own worst enemy. He's gotten in quite a bit of trouble a few different times. He's gotten stripped from the title. And he has in, we almost skipped right over, you know, he ended up testing positive because he was taking a... how do you say that? A sexual enhancement pill, right? That would be right the way to say it, right?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. So Daniel Cormier and John Jones, they've been scheduled to fight five times. They've only fought once. This one's going to happen. Both of these guys I was looking at them at the press conference. Both of these guys are just...
they're ready. Jacked. They're ready.
Yes. So give me the breakdown. How do you see this fight going? And I want to know, at the end of your breakdown, I want to know who you're taking to win.
All right. So what I really liked after watching that fight with you, the first fight, I liked DC's game plan. I liked what he did. I liked how he tried to pressure John Jones, and he tried to implement his game plan by just putting to Jones' face. And the issue that I had towards the end of it is when I started watching, DC was running out of gas. He didn't have anybody to push him in his camp. Kane was injured their first time. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. And on John Jones' side, I really like what he does. I mean, he is one of the best fighters of all time. But the variable that I want to consider him coming back with is... he hasn't fought in a long time, and he's been through a lot. He's run through all these different emotions, and I want to see where his head's at. And it seems like it's okay leading up to this, and all the interviews and the press conferences. Now, in order for DC to win, he's gonna have to apply more pressure than he had the first time they fought. The issue with that is, in his last few fights against Alexander Gustafsson and who else did he fight?
Rumble Johnson.
He's taking a lot of damage, and the miles have been adding up. He's getting older. He's already a really old fighter. He's in his late 30s, if I'm
correct. Think he's 40.
He's already 40.
I think he is 40.
No, he's actually 38, and Jon Jones is 30 now.
And I gotta look that one up.
I'm pretty sure. I think I saw that.
Okay, I'm going to trust you on that one. I don't know why I was thinking he was 40. You know what? I'm going to call you. He's 40. How many years ago has it been since they fought?
Two?
No, it's been longer than that.
I think it's been two.
Because 2 years ago, last year was US 200. Has it been 2 years? So it's 2 years. He's about 48. He's 48. You're right.
48.
I mean 38.
he's a Dan name. Henderson. Fedor.
Fedor is 88.
In fight years, definitely.
Yes. Well, I think he's 38. Okay. So.
Now, he's going to have to bring the pressure. He's going to have to do it all. But Father Time is undefeated. With that said, ring rust is real in a lot of cases. But at the end of the day, I just don't. I'm rooting for DC. But I just don't see if he can pull it out.
Okay, so you're taking Jon Jones. You're taking
Jon Jones by either a late stoppage or a decision.
Okay, when I go back and I look at this fight, the first thing I see is Cormier and Jones, the first fight, Cormier went with the approach of he wanted this fight to be in a phone booth. He pressured Jones. He kept them in very close range of each other. And Jon Jones was totally okay with fighting him toe-to-toe and just having a slugfest. They didn't back up. They were always within range, always. And in the end, Cormier ran out of gas. But the things that Cormier was able to do, one, he was able to land shots. The question I have is, if Cormier picks up the pressure and gets more active, will he burn out sooner? That's the first question I have. The second thing, the one thing that I look at this and I say, the fight for Cormier, the best he can hope for is that the fight works out exactly the way it went the last time. Jon Jones is willing to stand toe-to-toe with him. They wrestle with him, dirty box with him, and Cormier throws more combinations, throws more uppercuts. The uppercut was there for Cormier. The difference is I don't see anything different that Cormier can do except for maybe this time he lands a few more shots and maybe he rocks Jones. But I don't think there's much more he can do. But on the other side, when I look at Jones, Jones could fight him exactly the same way he fought him before, where they're toe-to-toe, they're literally shoulder-to-shoulder as they're fighting. He could fight that way, and he could feel comfortable fighting that way because he's won that way 4-1. He won that way. But when I go back and I look at that fight, Jones could change it up completely on him because the one thing Jones didn't do the first fight is fight at distance. First, when you look at the height, he has a 5-inch height difference and a 12-inch reach difference. He has a 6-inch leg difference in length. Jon Jones could literally fight this fight at range, keep Cormier at distance, and really pot shot him. And that's something that I don't think Cormier or anyone's thought about, because when you go back and you watch this fight, they're in a phone booth and Cormier can say, man, I missed out on some opportunities because I was able to land and things like that. Jon Jones' pride and ego allowed him to sit right in the middle, toe to toe. What happens if Jon Jones just says, you know what, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to fight at distance. I'm going to use my leg kicks, because those oblique kicks were just tough to deal with. So He uses his leg reach. He uses his height. He uses his arm reach to keep Cormier at bay. That's a totally different fight. Jones has multiple ways to approach Cormier, where Cormier has... The only thing he can do is fight exactly the way he fought before, just kick up the effort even more, which then he stands a chance of burning out even sooner. I don't like this. The only thing I like for Cormier, and I'm a big fan of Cormier, I personally think he's the second greatest light heavyweight fighter in history. Unfortunately, he's fighting the greatest light heavyweight fighter in history. The only thing I like for Daniel Cormier is he's been active. John Jones has not been active over the last 3-4 years. Ring rust. That's the one thing that gives Cormier a shot. Other than that, I still see it going, you know, John Jones winning 3-1 again. I mean, 4-1 or 3-2. But I still got John Jones winning this fight unless he can be able to land a lucky shot.
Yeah, I see something similar in that. I mean, something that doesn't get talked about a lot in their first fight was the amount of body work that John Jones did to DC. That's how he got DC tired. DC, in his previous fights, has shown that he has a really good gas tank. He can fight for a long period of time. But against John Jones, with all those elbows, those kicks, those
knees. I was just holding to say that. I was going to say, John Jones landed elbows that were just vicious elbows in close, dirty boxing, but he was landing mean. There was one point he landed 3 elbows in a row because they were fighting in that phone booth type style, you know. And then he out wrestled Cormier. You know, I think it's gonna be a very tough situation for Daniel Cormier.
Something that's going to be interesting to watch out for is with these new rules in effect, if John Jones wants to keep his distance, wants to play that long-range game that he's known for in his previous fights, he can't stick out his fingers anymore. Right. He has to keep them curled in or in a fist because, I mean, there's been a lot of eye pokes recently. John Jones is a pretty controversial fighter, and in the past he's been known to poke people in the eyes just by sticking out his fingers, and he's even admitted that. He does that, but nobody calls him out for it, and they may take points away from that, and that if this is a close fight, this could play a huge factor in the scoring.
I agree. You know, one of the things when I was watching this second fight, I was trying to look for things that Cormier could do differently. As we mentioned before, he has to throw a lot more uppercuts because the uppercut was there, and he landed a few of them. But he has to throw a lot more, too. He has to kick up the pace, but he has to be able to have the stamina to handle that rough, faster pace, throwing more combinations. One of the things that he never did was, at close range, I think he needs to attack John's legs a lot more. There was very few leg kicks. He landed one solid leg kick on Jones that whole fight. Early on, I think the key is to get in close and just keep on. John has those long legs. Punish him with them. That's a large target. I think you have to keep attacking those legs, which will make it a little easier for him to get a takedown because Cormier had no shot at really getting a real takedown until that very last round where he gave every ounce of energy he had just to say, I took John Jones down, which it was a moral victory that was nothing in my book.
Yeah, not only that, he could do a lot more body work than he did in the first fight. And if he's able to do that, it'll get Jones a little bit distracted because, let's be honest, DC was highly emotional in their first fight. Yes. He was going for the headhunt, and it was similar to when TJ Dillashaw fought Dominic Cruz. All he's doing is looking to knock him out. He's not focusing on the real game plan of attacking the rest of the body, seeing the openings there. And I think that's something he definitely improve on, and it'll distract Jones. It'll give him something more to think about. And when you're thinking in a fight, you're more susceptible to getting hit.
All right. So, concluding this, I have Jon Jones winning a unanimous decision over Daniel Cormier. And Cormier, I love Cormier, and I love Jones. But I'm taking Jon Jones to win, and you concur. Is that correct?
I concur. I could see it being stopped in Jones' favor.
I don't know. I think you'd pretty much have to kill Cormier before you stop him.
He might.
Now, but here's the thing, though. I will agree on this. Cormier wants this so bad, and he's done a good job, and he's won the mind game. That was one of the things that shocked me is how he, when I watched the press conference, he's the one that looks like he won the first fight. Jones is the one that looks like he lost the first fight. He's angry. He's emotional, which is kind of weird to see the winner feel that way. You know, but one of the things that could be reversed if I can understand how you could see a stoppage. Let's say Cormier comes out the first two rounds and he tries to implement his game plan and Jones just stuffs it. I could see Cormier getting flustered fast. You know, right now I give Cormier the mental advantage, but I think that could shift super fast, especially if Jon Jones is taking it to him.
Yeah, definitely.
And at that point, if DC breaks down mentally, Jones will stop him.
Yeah, he slowly whittled at him in the first fight, and we saw some of the fight go out of DC to the point that he just wanted to take him down.
Yeah, because I thought he mentally beat. He was before Cormier. Cormier, it was a close fight the first three rounds. Cormier clearly lost two of the three rounds, but he was still in it. He got a little gas, but also I think in the fourth and fifth round, I thought he was mentally beaten as well.
Yeah, at the end of the fourth round, when Jones put his hand on top of DC's head, I mean, that was mental warfare right there, and it was extremely effective.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so that concludes our talk about the main event. And now when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about UFC 214. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the Extreme Cage Fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Okay. You're listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. And we are talking about UFC 214. And we're now talking about the welterweight title bout. Who's fighting in that fight, William?
Tyron Woodley and Damian Maya.
Yes, Tyron Woodley and Damian Maya. This is going to be an interesting fight. Now, I let you go first on the first one, so I'll go first on this one here.
Oh, how dare you.
And I'm afraid for Tyron. This is that fight where I don't think anyone in the UFC wants to see Damian Maya win this fight. He's not an exciting fighter, but he's damn good. He's the human backpack. And if Tyron messes around, and Tyron's a world-class wrestler, but Mr. Backpack gets on his back, Woodley could be in trouble. Do you agree?
Oh, I definitely agree. I mean, Damian and Maya on the ground with anybody, and that goes all the way up into heavyweights. And with anybody, he has a shot.
Everyone is going to be upset with me. If I was Tyron Woodley, I would approach this fight, and it's horrible to say this because it would be really bad for him as far as promotion goes. But I would approach this fight kind of the way I approached the Wonder Boy fight. Super cautious, low activity rounds. I would look for my shots. I don't care how ugly the round goes. I don't care if we don't land a shot. We got five rounds. Woodley can knock Damian Maya out cold. But I don't. And normally I would put Woodley. I'm fine with Woodley fighting, wrestling anyone in his division, except for Damian Maya. That's the one I don't like. I don't like if I'm Woodley, I do not want to see Woodley on the ground. So I would go with a very patient strategy, where, you know, I low Maya into a situation where he drops that hand, and then I drop the boom on him. With that being said, when I look at this and I say, how are we, you know, who's going to win this fight? Technically speaking, Maya is the bigger man, but when you look, they match up. They're the same height.
Oh, definitely not the same height.
You don't think? I mean,
No.
There's a huge
height difference.
There's a huge height difference here. That's what I meant. Maya's going to be the bigger man. He has a 4-inch reach. A height advantage. Woodley has a reach advantage, a 2-inch reach advantage, and that's what I was talking about when I said they're equal. Their legs are going to their leg length is about the same, but I don't really see either one of these guys, the leg length even being a factor. It comes down to the wrestling ability. And I think the most important thing for Woodley is just to be patient, lull him into a sense of boredom. I would make this fight as boring as possible until I was able to land a big shot, just like he did with Wonder Boy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, before I analyze this fight, I just want to say that this fight is very old school to me. It reminds me of Hoist Gracie and Chemo.
Yes, and, exactly. This is you could scratch this off and just say UFC 3.
Yeah, it's a style matchup. It's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter versus a wrestler with an overhand right and power.
Yes. You know?
And what Tyron's going to have to do in order to win is to disengage. Don't touch him. Don't even get near him. And just keep him at bay. Use that power that he has to use his takedown defense. Just get away from the guy. Because Damian just wants to hug you. He wants to get on your back and choke you out. He wants to have contact at all times. And that's been extremely effective for him in his last 7 fights now. He's on a major streak, and he's just been submitting everyone left and right. Not in his last fight against Jorge Masvidal, which is, I see it playing out in a similar fashion, but I just think that Tyron's on a different level athletically, and I think that he's going to have the power that's necessary to keep Damian at bay.
Now, here's the other... Now, I agree with you. The thing about it is, when you look at Damian Maya, he's so dangerous. He should be a middleweight, but he's fighting at the welterweight. He's a big welterweight. Man, I hate saying this, but like I said, boring fight. You got to make this a boring fight. The problem and why I'm a little worried for Woodley is, Woodley is very confident in his wrestling ability. The only reason why he wasn't a national champion was he ended up losing to Johnny Hendricks. He's a world-class wrestler. And I think, you know, I worry that he's not going to worry about Damian Maia's wrestling. He's going to be prepared to go to the ground. It's a bad place for him. This is the only fighter that I ever look at that I look at as just a bad matchup for him. I just don't like it. Now, with that being said, who do you think's going to win this fight and how?
I think Tyron's going to have the ability to dictate where this fight goes. So I'm going to have him by unanimous decision. It's going to be a snore fest. I mean, and if it's not that way, it's either Damian gets a quick submission or Tyron gets a quick knockout. But I just see it playing out in the long run. Tyron's going to be cautious as he's been throughout his run, other than the Robbie Lawler fight. And I just see him winning just based on pure athleticism and power.
Interesting. I keep thinking about this, and I keep shifting.
I do the same, but I'm just trying to give you my pick right now.
And I'm going to tell you how I've went back and forth on this fight. And when I break down the fight, the first time I thought about this fight, I said, Damian Maia is the one guy that can make things bad. I'm taking Damian Maia. Then the second time, I took Woodley. The third time I looked at this thing, I took Maia. And the fourth time I looked at it, I took Maia. As much as, you know what? Just because the styles make fight, unless Woodley is able to land a big shot and he makes this fight boring, I'm actually going to take Damian Maia as the new champion.
I'm not surprised. I can't believe I just
went against Tyron Woodley.
I mean, it's a stylistic matchup on both sides. These guys are going to see whose game matches up better with one another. And they are in one way each other's kryptonite. I mean,
yeah,
it's insane. I mean, one's got knockout power and he's a strong wrestler. And then one has world-class jiu-jitsu.
Well, see, and that's the reason why I'm taking Damian Maia in this fight. When you look at this and you say world-class wrestler versus world-class jiu-jitsu guy, both guys feel like I can go on the ground with this guy. I can handle him on the ground. But on the stand-up game, Damian Maia doesn't make no, you know, he's not delusional. He doesn't think like, I can get there and I'll trade blow for blow with him. Damian Maia already knows I have to worry about the big shot from Tyron Woodley. So he's going to give that respect. But I don't know if Woodley's going to give Maya's jiu-jitsu the respect that it deserves. And that's where he could get in trouble. Also, the other reason why, and guys, Tyron Woodley is one of my favorite fighters. You know, I'm a big Tyron Woodley fan. But the other reason why is if Damian Maia takes him down to the ground, let's say he doesn't submit him in the first. But, you know, and let's say, you know, Woodley beats him up a little bit in the second and Maia takes him down in the third. And you go into the fourth. I think it's a wrap at that point. You get to, you think a unanimous decision. But the one thing that I've always worried about Tyron Woodley on is stamina. And if you go to the fourth round or the fifth round and Woodley gets tired, that's when Maia will take over. And that's a bad situation for him. Do you agree that the stamina is going to be an issue?
That's something I'm really interested in because Damian's going to fight Tyron like no fighter has ever fought Tyron before. He's going to try to wrestle with him. He's going to try to grapple with him. And that takes a lot of energy. What Tyron has been doing in the past few fights is he's been putting his back against the cage, circling around, conserving his energy, doing major outbursts of like overhand rights and major leg kicks and just powerful punches. He's not going to be able to do that with Damian because Damian's going to try to suffocate him. He's going to try to become that backpack.
Okay, so let's say in the first round, he's able to take this and make it a wrestling match. And let's say they go back and forth. They just keep on going back and forth. It's a rough fight. rough ground and pound fight round. Round two is a rough ground and pound. Do you have the confidence in Tyron Woodley's stamina, which has been an Achilles heel for him, to go five rounds with a grappling type fight?
I'm not too confident in Damian's stamina either.
Oh, now see, there's something I wasn't prepared for.
Damian, as we have mentioned, he is a huge welterweight.
He's a huge welterweight.
He had a short camp for this. Dana just arranged his fight like nothing. He just arranged it. He gave him a month or two to prepare, and that's a short camp for him. He even expresses concerns and how he's going to have to take it really slow and really try to peak at the end of his camp. Now, in his past fights, I've seen him gas before. I've seen him gas against Rory McDonald. I've seen him fade a little bit against Jake Shields. I've seen it. And a major reason why is because of that major weight cut. And a lot of those were grappling heavy fights. Now, Tyron is was a wrestler. And mm-hmm. they're go, 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 go all the time. They're always about those winning each and every battle. Whereas in jiu-jitsu, it's more about flowing. It's about taking your opportunities when you can, but there's brag periods, there's rest, and all this. I'm not sure about either man's gas tank. I just don't know.
Really? Now, see, that's the one thing I wasn't... I mean, I'm not... Because of the way Brazilian jiu-jitsu goes, David Maia has the ability, and he does this a lot. That's why they call him the human backpack. He can get on your back and make you carry his weight as he's just resting there, you know, just taking his time. He can take his time and wait for an opening, a boring opening, the open up for, you know, a neck crank, a rear naked choke. You know, there's lots of things, but he can rest as he's doing, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. There are moments where you can actually be doing, you can be on the offensive while resting, you know. And if you look at the last fight he had, that first round, if I remember correctly, he was on, I forget who he
fought. Jorge Masvidal.
Remember he was on Masvidal's
back? Yeah, he was just hanging on to him.
Just hanging on to
him. Just making him carry all of his weight.
Masvidal was carrying his weight. He's resting, waiting for that opening to finish that rear naked choke. That's the kind of stuff that works well for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But wrestling is power move, speed move, power, you know, it's always engaging. There is no I'm going to rest while holding you and preparing to get this hold in. It's not built, wrestling's not built that way. That's why I kind of worry about Woodley. And like I said, I like Woodley as champ, and you know, but it's just such a bad match. Am I swaying you at all?
No, because what I've seen in the past few Woodley fights is he's learning how to pace himself.
That's the thing that I agree with you on. That worries me as well. And the reason why it worries me as well is Woodley took a lot of criticism for the Wonder Boy fight about how boring it was. And, you know, the first two rounds were 10-10 rounds because no one did anything. Is he going to feel pressured to actually make this an exciting fight? Because if he feels pressured, that could be bad news for him.
I think Woodley only cares about one thing, and that's taking home the W. I think he wants to become, he said it himself, he wants to become the greatest of all time at the welterweight division, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win. And we've seen that against Robbie Lawler, and we've seen that against, sorry, I'm blanking right here. We've seen that against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Wonderboy, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't think it, I mean, if he fought basically the same fight against Wonderboy twice, I don't see his game plan changing other than the fact that he has to face a grappler. He's still going to go for that W.
If he fights the Wonder Boy way, Dana will be upset. The crowd will be upset. but it's the right decision on his part to be patient, look for an opening, pace himself with huge, quick bursts of energy and power, and then back to pacing himself. Then, if he does that, I have him winning by KO.
Yeah, and I like those types of fights too, because it becomes more of a chess match, and I think Damian is completely fine with a chess match as well. I mean, that's what jiu-jitsu is. Human chess match.
All right, so finally, the final results. I have Damian Maia winning, and you have Tyron Woodley, right?
That's it.
All right. When we come back, we're going to cover some more fights from this card. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, we're back, and now it's time for me to talk about, or for us to talk about, the fight I'm most excited about. Of course, I'm most excited about that main event, but the fight I'm most excited about is, if you're an Invicta fan, you do know the two greatest champions in Invicta is the bantamweight champion and the featherweight champion. And that is Tonya Evinger versus Chris Cyborg. Cyborg has been on a tear for a decade.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Mm-hmm. The only thing to beat her is some testing.
Oh, you know what? You're wrong.
Oh, actually.
She even beat the testing. That's how bad Cyborg is. She even beat USADA and ended up getting an exemption.
No, she lost once, though. She lost once when she was in Strikeforce. Then she beat him. And actually, she lost to kickboxing.
Well, I do remember her.
Muay Thai, I believe, actually.
I've watched that. That was kickboxing.
Was it?
Yeah, that was kickboxing. I think it was kickboxing. I remember the fight. I remember when the lady dropped her. That was a shocker. That's the reason why I always wanted Megan Anderson to fight her, because I thought that was the better
soon
fight.
Enough, Tate. Soon enough.
Let's see what happens here in our predictions here. So, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Let's let this Tonya Evinger fan go first.
All right. I'm just going to come right out and say it. And this is where everyone may turn the podcast off. My absolute favorite women's mixed martial arts fighter today, Tonya Evinger, is my absolute favorite of them all. And I know that's nuts. I respect her game. People don't realize that Tonya would have been favorite to go to the Olympics. They just didn't have her weight class. Tonya is a world-class wrestler, just like Tyron Woodley is. She's a world-class wrestler, and, you know, once she got going, I will put Tonya Evinger up against anyone, and I give Tonya a chance against anyone. Guess what? I give her a chance against Cyborg, and normally you don't give anyone a chance against Cyborg. But the one thing Cyborg has not been able to, has not went up against, she's never went up against anyone like Tonya Evinger. Tonya can make this fight a dirty, rough fight. The dirtier the fight this, the dirtier this fight gets, the more it's the more happier it's going to make Tonya. The better she gets. Have you ever seen anyone take Cyborg to the ground and be, you know, on top?
Not that I can remember. Not even close.
Not even close.
She has 100% takedown defense, Tate.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've never seen it. Tonya has that ability to actually take her down. That's the one thing that putting her in an uncomfortable place where if you can get Cyborg to the ground, make this a dirty ground and pound, grind it out fight. The longer this fight goes, the better I like it for Tonya. If this fight, if Cyborg comes out like she normally does, and she comes out and she's a buzzsaw, and she catches Tonya early, she will finish Tonya because she can finish anyone. I'm going to say that again. Chris Cyborg can finish anyone. If they come across the ring and are going to engage with her, she's strong enough to take out any woman in any organization in the world. But no one, Cyborg has never been on the ground. It's one of those like Holly Holm, Misha Tate situations where Holly was clearly the better fighter standing up. There was no contest there. But putting her in an uncomfortable place, Tonya can have a shot at this fight no matter how long this fight goes. The longer this fight goes, the better it is for Tonya. But the problem is Cyborg's fights don't last long. Cyborg is a meat grinder. I'm a huge, like, I love watching Cyborg because I appreciate, you know, everyone talks, you talk about, you know, that she's tested positive, things like that. But, you know, she's been in the UFC. USADA's tester, she's clean. She's a hardworking person. And one of the things I do know about Cyborg is she's, you know, she's a super nice lady as well. If she did win the championship, despite, you know, what they were talking about with Jermaine Duranemy and all of that, Cyborg would be a champion that you could be very proud of. It's one of those, but when I go back to this fight, this is maybe with my heart. But if this fight goes, if Tonya can get her to the ground, if Tonya can take this fight to the later rounds, one of the things, Cyborg has those big muscles. The longer the fight goes, the less power she'll have, the more tired she'll get. Tanya's gas tank is not gonna wear out. When you see Tonya doesn't have that model body. She doesn't have the chiseled abs. Tonya has a little bit of a muffin top, but she's built for, she can go just like in the first round. She can wrestle with you in the first round, second round, third round. She can take it late. I don't know if Cyborg has ever been in that kind of situation. I'm going to take the upset. I'm taking Tonya to take it late. If she avoids a big shot early, that's my upset. Everyone may think I'm crazy. Calling it here.
Wow.
Yes, it's like, wow.
I agree with everything you said. I agree.
Oh, so you're taking Tonya?
No, so hold on.
All right. That concludes our show. Thank you. Good night.
I agree that Tonya brings something to the table that Cyborg has never seen before. I agree that Evinger has world-class wrestling. But Cyborg is just too powerful.
Cyborg, I get you. Cyborg is a cyborg. You know, Conor McGregor has that picture on his chest.
Yeah, the gorilla eating a heart.
Yes,
with a crown.
I think it should just be. She should have one right there as well. But it should be a bulldozer, just plowing over cities.
I don't know. You just put her own face with a crown and eating a heart, and that, I think that works just fine as well. It totally tells you what she's gonna do. And I feel like it's going to be no different with Tonya. Once she experiences that power, I just don't see any woman.
Tonya's a different lady. Tonya.
She is a different lady.
And the thing about it is, here it's like the McGregor effect. A lot of people get beat before they ever step in the ring with Cyborg. They're terrified.
That's not happening in this fight.
Right. Jermaine Duranami just said, nope. I'm not even going to defend my title.
I'm going to go back to the police academy because that's that's a less scary proposition than Cyborg.
You know, Misha Tate said, I'll fight her. I don't care if I get beat up. Who says that? Nobody really wants to fight Cyborg. Here's something that if you don't follow Invicta, not once, not twice, but three times that I know of, Tonya Evinger has asked to fight Cyborg. Nobody asked to fight Cyborg. Not even Ronda Rousey asked to fight Cyborg. Gina Carano didn't really want to fight Cyborg.
No, ma'am.
Tonya Evinger has. Tonya Evinger has volunteered to fight her three other times. When the UFC called them up, she's a natural bantamweight. UFC called her up. She didn't hesitate. She didn't say, let me talk to my people. I'll take it. It doesn't matter. I'm in.
I appreciate the confidence. Just sometimes you don't know what you're in for. And I don't.
I think this is one of those situations. Listen, you do not disrespect Cyborg. All I'm saying is,
she'll punch you in the face like Angela Magana.
No. You get what you deserve. Cyborg, I'm going to defend her to the end. And I won't go too much, but Cyborg had every right to do that. It's one of those things people don't realize, but if you follow mixed martial arts, Cyborg is actually, she looks like a tough lady. She fights like, you know, like she's Tyrone Woodley.
But she's an understatement. She has more tenacity, and
she's, you know what? That may be disrespecting her. And I love Tyrone Woodley. But she's a super nice lady who, I think, win or lose, the UFC and the mixed martial arts world should praise her just as much as Ronda Rousey, if not more. And I'm saying that, if not more. But I'm still taking an upset.
You take your upset and I'll take my Cyborg victory.
What kind of wager we got on this one? I'm not asking for any, you know, special compensation. I'm saying Tonya's winning.
I'm saying Chris Cyborg's winning.
And I know that sounds like the craziest.
It doesn't sound crazy to me.
That's kind of like saying I'm taking McGregor over Mayweather. That's just like no one would think that, and I'm not. I am not taking Mayweather. I mean McGregor over Mayweather. I am taking Mayweather to win, but I am taking Tonya as an upset. I'm not confident about my Damian Maya Tyron Woodley pick. I could change my mind tomorrow. I'm still taking John Jones, but I still got that upset.
So you're confident in this victory by Tonya Evinger, more so than the Woodley?
Yes, because of the fact that Cyborg has never fought anyone like that. Tonya is, like I said, she's an Olympic-level wrestler. People don't realize that, but she is. Tonya's a lot stronger than people think. Cyborg, everybody knows how strong Cyborg is. Everybody knows what Cyborg can do. Cyborg is going to barrel you over. But what happens if when Cyborg comes in and she goes with a double and takes Cyborg down and she's on top? And if she can ride the wave, the taker, you take this a long way. If she can survive, it all comes down to this. If this fight makes it out of the first round, I'm taking Tonya Evinger.
Well, that's okay. I had like a third round stoppage for a Cyborg.
Oh, no way. I had that. I am in.
And I totally understand that. Something that I am accounting for is Cyborg's cardio. It may be lacking when you get into later rounds, even though we didn't really see that in kickboxing and Muay Thai. But I just think that she's going to be able to overcome Tonya's attack and wrestling ability and whatever she brings. I just feel like that's going to happen.
The triple threat's going to get her. Rear naked choke.
Oh, rear naked choke. Huh? All right. That's a huge neck to wrap around.
Rear naked choke.
Oh.
Third or fourth round.
Did you hear that, guys? The naked choke. The rear naked choke.
Is that the craziest prediction you think you've ever
heard? No, no, no.
Yeah, rear naked choke. I'm taking Tonya.
I'll take McGregor by rear naked choke over Mayweather.
In the boxing match.
Yeah, we can see that happening.
I bet you probably could get money on that one.
I'm sure I could.
The only reason
any takers out there?
The only reason why it will never happen is because are you willing to risk $100 million? Because that's one of the things in the contract. You can't do anything. Because if that wasn't in there, I could totally see McGregor getting beat up and just doing that little spin kick that he does.
Yeah, right to open up the fight.
I don't mean to go. I'm going to get off topic just a little bit here. Yes, it's a $100 million fight. What happens if he just went ahead and does it anyway? What kind of publicity would that give him? That would give him more publicity than he. But you know what? It would be bad publicity. And McGregor's loved. You don't want. He wouldn't do that.
But imagine if he did. That would just be insane. It would just take over like wildfire over all of social media, over all of sports. I hope it's a good fight.
It's going to be a good fight. All right, back to my upset. I'm going to say this again. I don't win or lose. Cyborg is the greatest women's mixed martial arts fighter in history. She needs to be recognized for that. I think the UFC should, really promote her and give her that credit. Everyone keeps talking that Ronda Rousey is the greatest or the GOAT. It really is Cyborg. She's unstoppable.
Yeah, she will be this weekend as well.
Until she runs into the triple threat.
We'll see. I'm excited.
And I don't want to see, let me tell you something. You see, Tonya stops her with a rear naked choke. You don't follow Tonya. You haven't seen some of those interviews, and the one interview when Tonya was drunk or something. Tonya's going to give one of the best damn interviews of all time. It's gonna make the Diazes blush if she pulls this off.
It's a big if.
Oh, it's a huge if. But if she makes it out of that first round, Upset City, you heard it here from Tate. When we come back, we're going to cover a few more fights on this card. Stay tuned. I won't be making any more crazy statements like I've done. And I don't think it's crazy. I truly do believe that Tonya's going to pull it off. Stay tuned, and we'll be back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. And this is Tate and William, and we are the UFC. No, we're not. We're the okay, here's the reason why I am just I have to get a straight face here. William and I during the break, I actually played him the Tommy Toehold one when the Megan Anderson Cyborg fight was called off for 214, and when I wanted to show him Tanya Evinger, and it had me cracking up, and William had never seen it, so
it's so true too. I mean, it's not even satire at this point; it's just fact.
Oh, so I keep laughing, which caused me to mess up our intro of this is GSMC's MMA podcast. But that's what we were laughing about. And so what we're going to be doing now is we're going to be talking about our last fight of the day. And it's an interesting one. It's Robbie Lawler versus Cowboy Donald Cerrone. Robbie is the number 3 contender versus Donald Cerrone, who is the number 7 contender. Robbie, both fighters are coming off of a loss. That's the one thing that you know.
Knockout losses.
You want to go first or you want me to go first on this one?
I'll go first.
All right.
So, how I see this fight playing out is just the overwhelming pressure and the indomitable spirit of Robbie's going to just take over Cerrone. I mean, Cerrone in the past against Rafael Dos Anjos, and in his last fight against Jorge Masvidal, he lost because of a pressure fighter. And I think Robbie's going to be hungry for a win, and he's just going to take it to Donald, and he's going to deliver some body shots and some head shots that I just don't think Cerrone's ready for. So I just have it by Robbie.
Okay. I'm going to give I'm going to give the reason why I think the winner is going to win for medical reasons only. But it also works out because the person I think is going to win for medical reasons, I think is going to win outright. Two schools of thought. Whenever you come off of a major knockout, there is major trauma, brain trauma. And it takes anywhere from 6 months to a year to recover from massive trauma like that. If you don't heal up properly, you're more susceptible to be knocked out again. That's the reason why I was very happy to see when Robbie Lawler fought Tyron Woodley and he got knocked out, that he took an extended period of time off. That was the absolute smartest thing he could do, not to mention the fact that he has had so many blood and guts fights, and he's taken a lot of beatings. So I think it was really smart for him to take some time off, heal up his brain, rest up, and come back better than before. I think he's a lot less susceptible to being knocked out. On the other hand, you look at Cowboy Cerrone, who just fought, how many months ago? About 3 months ago?
I would say 3 months.
About 3 months ago, I could look it up really quick here. But when you look it up and you say he fought about 3 months ago, and you go through, and he just got knocked out, and so you're looking around and you're like, he should not be fighting so soon. But that's the cowboy way and that sounds kind of funny, the cowboy way. But it's a situation where he likes to stay active. He likes to fight on a regular basis. It was January 28th. It seems like it was sooner.
It seems like it was recent.
That was the beginning of the year. So, you know, at least, actually, he did give it 6 months of the heal.
Good job, Johnny.
I apologize.
It hasn't been a year, though.
It hasn't been a year.
It was a year since Robbie fought.
I swear it feels like it was just 3 months ago. Man.
There's a lot that's been happening in fight news, in our lives. Things get a little crazy.
Yeah, so he has given it time, but so I do take that back because I was wrong about how long. I thought he was a lot closer than that. But I think it's a big mistake to come back too soon. Now, even when you take out let's say Cerrone has given himself enough time to heal up. When you look at these guys, and you say, you know, height wise, Cerrone's a little bit taller. Reach, Robbie, their reach is about the same. Robbie has about an inch more reach, but Cerrone has an inch longer in the leg kicks. But the naturally bigger man, would you agree, is Robbie Lawler?
Yeah, I would say so. He used to fight at middleweight,
right? When I look at that and I say, who's the naturally bigger man? I think they're, you know, and who's used to these kind of wars? Cerrone is always game for a fight. This is a fight that may be bigger than he can handle. I'm taking Robbie Lawler. I'm taking Robbie Lawler by knockout, third round knockout. No, second round knockout. Just because I think there's going to be just too much pressure on Cowboy. But if Cowboy wins, he's announced, he's arrived. If he wins, he's one of the most popular fighters, but I mean, he's in the title picture if he wins. But if Robbie Lawler wins, he's right back in the title picture, and he's probably going to get the winner of Maya versus Woodley. And I think that's what's going to happen. I got him a second round knockout just because these guys are not going to be hard to find. They're going to be able to find each other in that ring. There won't be any running. There won't be any hiding. No dancing. They're going to go at it.
Yeah, they both want the knockout. They both want the finish. They both want that bonus at the end of each fight.
Yeah, and so it comes down to, for me, who has the tougher chin? Robbie can take a shot. And so I'm taking Robbie. What about you?
I got him second, third round knockout. I mean, you said second, so I'll just say third too.
So how do you see this fight going?
I just see Robbie overwhelming Cowboy. I just see, I've looked and watched all of Cowboy's fights, and in every fight where the fighter, in which fighters can pressure him and overwhelm him, he's honestly wilted under pressure. And I just see it happening, especially by someone like Robbie Lawler, especially given Robbie's past performances and how he's just really unleashed the animal within.
All right. So I kind of agree. Robbie's used to these kind of fights. Robbie can take the shots. He can take the punishment and keep on going. And he can take the shots for five rounds. He's used to being in five round wars. And not saying that Cerrone's not used to being in wars, but this is a different level. I think also the one of the problems with Cowboy can be a little soft in the middle, meaning as far as those body shots can really affect Cowboy. Robbie can really issue out some punishment. I just think he stops him. There's part of me that wants to pull that back and even say first round.
Yeah, I was almost going to say that.
You know, I really... Would you be shunned if it was a first round knockout?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Robbie loves to go to the body, too.
Yeah. How do you see a scenario where Cowboy wins?
Cowboy kicks him in the head. Cowboy knees him as he's going in for a punch. I mean, Cowboy has some sneaky, sneaky Muay Thai. And he's very dangerous in that. And if he can catch you, especially when you're fresh, I see that as his only path to victory. I don't see him prolonging this and winning decision. I don't see any of that happening because Robbie's so tenacious in his fight game. I just
see this as a bad matchup for Cowboy.
I do. I mean, I mean, he looked really good at 170 until he ran into Jorge Masvidal, and when you get to the upper echelon of the division, especially this welterweight division, and you get into bigger fighters and stronger individuals like the Tyron Woodleys and the Damian Maya's, even in terms of strength, it's a different ball game.
I agree with you. I just think it's a bad matchup. He's going to be a little too undersized. He's been amazing at this division, but this one I just think is just wrong. It's just not right for him. As a matter of fact, when the fight got called off, I was relieved. I'm like, this is a bad matchup. Don't take this fight. This is a fight that can really get you in the title picture, but it's not the right fight.
Yeah, he needs a little bit of a tune-up fight. I mean, he was knocked out in his last fight. He's fought nothing but killers in his entire career. Just give him a little
tune-up. You're talking about Cowboy?
Yeah, Cowboy. Yes.
Yeah. Now, as our final wrap-up, we're giving you a 2-for-1 on this one. We just covered Robbie Lawler versus Donald Cerrone. How do you see the first fight of the main card, which is Jimmy Manawa versus
Ozdemir? I think it's Volkan Ozdemir, I believe. It's Volkan Ozdemir. Volkan is actually, I've been keeping my eye on him. He's a hard worker. He's got great power in his punches, and it should be a slugfest, honestly. I mean, Jimmy Manawa loves to punch. He loves to have some stand-up wars, and I definitely think that Volkan can actually give that to him, and it's going to be a matter of who's more precise with their punches. I mean, in his last fight, he knocked out Misha Cherkunov with the shortest right hand that I've ever seen. Just put him out. It was right behind the ear, and he just knocked him out cold. And he was kind of gifted a decision against Ovin St. Preux, but this is his real proving ground, and I think he's going to bring it. He's only improving as a fighter. He's relatively young, and it's going to be a real test to face a puncher like Jimmy Manawa. With that said, Manawa can knock any man out. I think that this fight is a little too early for Volkan, and I think he might get rocked and eventually lose.
First round knockout. Manawa knocks him out first round.
First round? I can see that happening. I can see that happening. I'd give it 2 or 3.
Within the first 2.5 minutes.
Really? Mm. I'd be surprised if it was that fast, but with power punches, especially in the light heavyweight division, anything can happen.
Yeah, I could see. This is a situation where you have a tailor-made guy for Jimmy Manawa, a guy that's going to come directly at you. When I was going back, I forgot about that Manawa fight. And one of the things I remember him just, you know, coming straight at you, that's not a smart decision with Manawa. I could see Manawa catching him, especially early. Manawa is so dangerous in that first minute, 2.5 minutes of the fight. I got it as a knockout.
Hey, he's on a tear right now, and he was going to fight Cormier if Jones didn't make it. I think that's actually why he's on this card. They were prepared for Jones to have a little issue.
Without question, this him being booked on this card was called insurance. If for some reason, I don't think Dana was trusting that something wouldn't happen, so they were expecting John Jones maybe to not make it because of whatever the reason. So they had Jimmy Manawa just waiting there just in case. But with that, I got Manawa winning. And just to recap, William has
Jones.
He has Cormier, Tanya Evinger.
I did not say Cormier. I didn't say Evinger either.
No. William and I both have John Jones winning. I don't really count my... I'm going to take my answer, but I still don't know who's going to win. I'm copping out.
You cop out. Come on.
I originally picked Manawa. I switched back to Woodley. I don't know who's going to win.
Game time decision.
William, I'm taking it back. I'm like I said, I keep going back and forth on that one. So I'm going to pull out my answer. William has Tyron Woodley winning in the women's featherweight division. William has Chris Cyborg winning in what round?
I say the third round.
Third round. I got Tanya Evinger winning a third or fourth round stoppage by rear naked choke. Upset of the year. We both agreed that Robbie Lawler is going to win, and we both took Jimmy Manawa. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to our show. We look forward to having the post-fight and seeing how our results go. With that, we call it a night because it is getting kind of late here. We'll see you at the fights.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.